What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Acá Entre Nos.
Today, it's just your two hosts. We hope you've enjoyed our precious episodes. Let us know what your questions, comments, or concerns are. We are only looking to improve.
Yes. Like you said, Kelsey, we've had quite a bit of guests on our show. Much gratitude to those who've come onto our show, who've shared their knowledge and their wisdom. We are on our 9th episode. Woo-woo! We're moving along. We're strong.
Yes, it's truly been such an amazing journey. I appreciate and want to thank all of you who have made the time to listen to us. We hope you're enjoying it. Man, we've had one hell of a route. I feel like even though we both have very busy lives, and even though we've had some complications and are still learning, it's been amazing. So what do you say, Dawn? Let's get this episode started.
Yes, and I just want to, you know, give an honor to both of us because, as Kelsey said, we do have busy lives. It's 7:19. I had work all day. Kelsey had school and work. So let's get started. Well, what's going to happen right now is I'm about to nerd out with you all. Our topic today is about the brain. I'm fascinated by the brain. It's a complex muscle that is flexible, adaptable, powerful, and important. And I feel like we don't pay enough attention to it. Because it's complex, we're only going to discuss three parts of it. The frontal lobe, the limbic system, and the brain stem. And so the reason why I wanted to have this segment on the brain is to bring awareness to how we can train our brain to do better and to work at its highest capacity, specifically in times of high stress. We hope that what we share serves as an introduction to your learning more about the brain in general and more about your brain's processing, because we each have our own unique brain. Not all brains are the same. On that note, I hope that all of you are enjoying our Emotional Intelligent Mondays. I feel like it's a fun, interactive way we can learn together about the brain, number one, and tools that we can use to train our brain to work at its highest potential so that we can be our best selves.
Yes, I totally agree. El cerebro es un órgano importantísimo. Cuando Don me dijo que quería tener un episodio en su topic favorito, me encantó la idea. Yo pienso que la gente no entiende la importancia del cerebro y la importancia atrás de asegurarnos que siempre lo mantengamos saludable es súper importante.
Yes, very important. So, here we go. Let's start with the brain stem. It's known as our reptilian brain. It's located at the base of our head. So if you put your hand on the back of your head right there where your little nape is, that's where our brain stem is. And why is it important? Well, first, it controls several important functions of our bodies, including breathing, alertness, heart rate, digestion, blood pressure, arousal, and the brainstem allows for our motor and sensory neurons to travel through and relay signals between the brain and the spinal cord. And I just want to say that I know that I'm mentioning words like sensory neurons and motor skills and things like that, and so that might sound foreign. And so, like I said before, I want this to be an introduction so that you all can go and you can Google and you can learn more, because if not, we would be here for days upon days. So what's the relationship between the brainstem and the emotions?
Good question, Dawn. It all begins from childhood. Unfortunately, we can't pick and choose what life has laid out for us. Most of us who are marginalized have survived and thrived through adverse childhood experiences, where 9 times out of 10 experiences have led to developmental trauma, which impacts the function of our brain stem during the times of crisis or high emotion. But really, I don't even want to rob you guys from learning about this in more detail. Within our notes section, we will add a link to the video that will explain a magnificent study called the ACE study. This study, done throughout 1995 until 1997, found the correlation between our adverse experience and high stress or exposure and their high effects on our health and brain development.
Yeah, I recall seeing that video a few times in the program that I was in. So tell me what happens. What happens, Kelsey?
Human brains function from bottom to top, with the lower parts of the brainstem, aka survival brain, developing earliest and the cortical area, thinking brain, much later, which we will soon get to. Traumatized brains become stuck in the brainstem and therefore swing between their survival modes of fight, flight, freeze, or collapse. Let me break it down to you guys like this. If you were walking down the street and suddenly a car was going to hit you, your brainstem would react in flight or fight to try and get out of the way so that you won't be hit. However, when you are exposed to consecutive stressors in your life, it's as if every day or moment in these stressing events were cars that almost or did hit you. With time, you go from fight or flight being a temporary life-saving mode reaction to it being a normal reaction that now leads to a harmful reaction that affects your entire physical and emotional well-being.
Dang! This makes sense for me, for real. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about when I feel heated, angry, I can feel my whole body temperature rise. My skin starts to sweat. I can feel my blood pressure rising and my breaths get shorter. And sometimes I do feel confused. I don't know what to do. I feel stuck. And other times when I feel immense amount of anger, I just want to remove myself from whatever the situation is. And more recently, I find myself wanting to fight when anger sets in, which is a little scary because fighting is not the way to be.
Yes, fighting is not the answer.
Bayonetas.
But yeah, that's exactly what's happening to you. You see, well, our blood pressure is an automatic function that is controlled by the brainstem. What you've shared with us is a prime example of your brain system moving in between its responses of flight, fight, or freeze.
Okay. What are some ways to manage that?
I'm glad you asked. This is something I have personally had a hard time practicing in my own life, if I'm being honest. Please. One of the most helpful ways to move us from these super high emotional states to calmer thinking brain is by living a patterned life, in other words, repetitive rhythmic activity. Like walking midday breaks while at work or school, our bodies love movement. Or arranging a normal schedule where we stay active, doing things we love, like hiking, working out, joining a dance class, which, by the way, Don and I just said that we are going to hold each other accountable, that after we record this episode, we're going to hit the gym.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, too. Like, that's exactly why I need to go to the gym after I drive an hour in this LA traffic so my mind can get right.
Exactly. And talking about traffic, how many times do you blast your music in your car during traffic hours, then start dancing to deal with the slow flow of traffic? Or am I the only one who does that?
No, right here, all the time.
This is me every single day. I sit in traffic, and if I don't karaoke or move a little, I'd lose my mind. Moving gets the blood flowing, allowing our breathing to get deeper. All physical activities can do this for us. Singing is another one. Drumming or tapping also helps.
Okay. I do some of these things already. What I'm hearing you say is that I need to start using them when I'm pissed the fuck off. And a little bit more, consistently. I need to be more consistent.
Yes, watch your language. Just kidding. But that's exactly right, girl. That's exactly what you need to do.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Of course, we have to be gentle. Remember, changing bad habits isn't a linear process.
It's true, and I like what you say to be gentle, because I often beat myself up when I'm not doing what I think I should be doing.
Yeah, so do I.
Well, that's a lot of information, and it's a little overwhelming even to myself, who's a part of this field. And so to our listeners, we know it's a lot, and we're doing our best to be brief, so stay with us, please. The next part of the brain we want to highlight is called the limbic system. And the limbic system is located in the middle of our brain. It's the combination of structures that we're not going to get into this segment. We'll save that for maybe a part two. I encourage you to learn more about the limbic system because it is the center of emotional responsiveness, memory formation, motivation, integration, and olfactory smell and taste. This system plays a huge part in helping us do things like remember past events that were both pleasant and traumatic, perceive threats from our surroundings, make choices based on our experiences, control movements based on past learning, and form sensory preferences like dislikes and much more.
Okay, but what does it do? What happens when parts of our limbic system have been damaged from developmental trauma or situational trauma like car accidents or any other situation that can cause brain damage?
Good question, Kelsey. Our limbic system, I feel, is a motor that keeps us regulated too. It's the part of the brain, our toolbox on how to cope with life lives. What I mean by that is that the limbic system regulates important aspects of our conscious and unconscious patterns, including our emotions, perceptions, relationships, behaviors, and motor control. For example, impulsive behaviors come from damage to a specific part of the limbic system. Emotions like anger are controlled from the limbic system. When we meet someone who doesn't consider the risk of behaviors and ignores social conventions or rules, there may be some damage to the intricate parts of their limbic system. And a good example that I think of are school shooters or mass shooters. Like, there is definitely some damage happening in their limbic system. As well as anxiety disorders are sometimes treated with drugs that target areas of the amygdala to decrease fear-based emotions. And again, the word that I just use, amygdala, is a specific part of the limbic system that we're not going to get into, but I encourage you to Google. Appetite dysregulation and cognitive disorders come from damages to the intricate parts of the limbic system as well.
Appetite regulation, is that like when people overeat? Like, what is it called, an emotional eater, when they overeat or when they undereat because of whatever they're dealing with?
Absolutely, yes. That's exactly what that means.
I just learned something new, y'all, myself.
Yeah, so, I mean, eating disorders, in essence. That's what eating disorders, there's some dysregulation that's happening within the limbic system that can lead to eating disorders.
Yeah, I had
or disordered heard, eating.
I had heard that there was a, like, some kind of, I guess you could call it, dysfunction going on that led to that. Mm-hmm. But I guess I wondered, you know, if it worked the same for, like, people that overeat.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Emotional eaters.
Yeah. And, you know, often I hear those who have a disordered eating, it's because they want to control something. So if we think about what we just learned about the limbic system is a center of where our emotions are controlled. And so oftentimes, those of us who have experienced disordered eating, it is because our emotions are out of whack within the limbic system.
Yeah, I personally have experienced both the emotional eating and I've had eating disorder when I was younger, so it makes total sense.
Yeah, and just to give a little forecast, next season, because we will be here next season, we're going to have an episode on disordered eating. And
we ain't going nowhere.
And we're going to have a good special guest for you. We don't want to put it out yet, but we'll have a special guest.
All right. So with that said, is there any way a person can strengthen their limbic system?
Although it's only a small part of the brain in terms of volume, the limbic system has some of the most basic life-sustaining and meaningful roles of all the brain structure. So before I answer your question, Kelsey, I just want to say this. In order to maintain homeostasis and feel your best, and homeostasis means to feel like balanced, the goal is to have balanced activities that will allow for the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous systems to remain calm. So to answer your question, yes, there is a way that we can regulate our limbic system. And I'm going to give a few examples right now.
Okay.
So one example is that we can use essential oils.
I love essential oils.
Yeah. Essential oils are good for soothing and uplifting. They do that in a way where it activates the part of the limbic system called the hippocampus. And we'll put some links within our notes section on the hippocampus as well. So studies show when essential oils are used, it's called aromatherapy, when you inhale them, there's evidence that the oils are absorbed into the bloodstream and it activates the hippocampus. So another one is to practice deep breathing. And deep breathing exercises coupled with intentional relaxation of muscles engages the circuitry of the parasympathetic nervous system and strengthens it for the future, for future use. And what I mean by intentional relaxation of muscles is like when we are envisioning like a certain part of our muscle. So like maybe our back, and you know, we're like focusing on our back. So that's what I'm talking about. And the sympathetic nervous system, because relaxed muscles send feedback to the alarm centers in the brain that there are no threats present. So what happens is when Kelsey talked about earlier about the fight or flight. So when we do the deep breathing, the oxygen relaxes the muscles, and then that then sends a message to our brain, specifically our limbic system, and it lets our limbic system know like you're safe. And so that's a lot of things. That's a lot of what happens is that our brain thinks that those of us who have experienced trauma, our brain thinks that we're sometimes in danger when really we're kind of being triggered, and that's all that's really happening. And the last technique that I want to share is to make a habit of being mindful, still, and silent. You can try things such as guided meditation or regular healing prayer to achieve stillness. And we'll share some links with you for guided meditations as well. I want to stress that practice of stillness because it helps us cultivate gratitude, reduce stress, and makes us feel more connected to others. And when we become more mindful and aware of good things in our life, it increases feelings of compassion, kindness, and well-being. Our limbic system affects our emotions and psychological systems on the deepest level. When it becomes imbalanced, negative physical symptoms may also result. By caring for our limbic system through methods from stress reduction, such as meditation and exercise, we are not only caring for our emotional health, but we're also caring for our physical well-being.
Wow. I had a bit of an idea on what we could do to strengthen our limbic system, and I have heard that a lot of these things are really good for you, but all this information is fascinating, and I hope that our listeners are enjoying this just as much. So what I'm hearing you say is that with intentional practice, it is possible to decrease anger, improve memory, and find a state of balance in this chaotic life we live in?
Yes, indeed, Kelsey. It's possible. The thing is that we don't talk about the brain as a muscle that we need to work out. I feel and think our brain is underrated. All medical practitioners should be giving information on its functionality, if you ask me what can be a solution, because I feel like they just prescribe medications and that's it, rather than educate their patients.
I agree. I think the brain doesn't get the necessary attention it needs from all of us, but I'm glad gals like us are here to make the talk of the brain cool for school. Okay, the last part of the brain we want to highlight for you all is our frontal lobe. The frontal lobe, located at the front of the brain, is the largest of the four major lobes. We have a right frontal lobe and a left frontal lobe. The frontal lobe of the brain is vital to our consciousness. The frontal lobe carries our higher mental processes such as thinking, decision-making, and planning, which is why a lot of us take a while to mature, especially teenage boys. I know, because I have two brothers. We use our frontal lobe nearly every day. They don't. We use it to make decisions such as what to eat or drink for breakfast in the morning, as well as for thinking or studying for a test.
Can I just give a little example on, like, the breakfast part and how, like, it doesn't develop in children quickly? So a friend of mine shared with me that his nephew said to him, for breakfast, we eat Takis while we wait for the bus. And so, like, for him, even people in high school, I remember I had friends that would eat hot Cheetos and a Coke.
Hot Cheetos with cheese. That was me in middle school.
Right. Like, that is not a substantial meal, but there we are grubbing away. And so that's just to say that, like, the frontal lobe is actually the part of the brain that is developed later on.
Oh, exactly why I brought up the teenagers. Yeah, she's totally right. It develops later on. And it actually develops earlier in women than in men. So for those of you women wondering why some of our men take forever to mature, this is why. All right, so the frontal lobe is also where our personality is formed and where we can carry out higher mental processes such as planning. In addition, the frontal lobe is necessary to being able to speak fluently and meaningfully.
So what happens when it's damaged?
I am glad you asked that. An injury in this area is usually related to cognitive problems, such as inability to solve complex problems, which is decrease in fluid intelligence, reasoning, adapting, and resolving of new situations, etc. Cognitive rigidity and perseveration, the person maintains a thought or action despite being invited to change it. Decreased learning ability, difficulty in acquiring and maintaining new learning. Temporal memory impairment, deficit in the order things happened. And deficiency in motor programming and changing motor activities. Difficulties in the organization of sequence of movement and the time to change an activity. A decrease in verbal fluidity. Impairment in the ability to recall words after an instruction. This action not only requires the lexical part, but also organization planning, focus, and selective attention. Attention deficit, difficulty maintaining your attention and inhibiting other irrelevant stimuli or changing the focus of attention. And pseudodepressive disorder, similar symptoms to depression, sadness, apathy, etc.
Whoa, that's a lot. Okay. So how do we keep our frontal lobe strong?
Resist instant gratification. We live in a world where you can easily meet any desire with no money down and no time spent, even though that's not the way people see life, unfortunately. This sounds good on the surface, but the reality tells a different story. Instant gratification rewires the brain to seek rewards immediately, with little or no time in between the initial action performed and the feedback. This decreases our level of patience over time.
I agree. I think about some people in my life, and I feel like at a young age, I was okay with delayed gratification, where, like, other people around me needed that instant gratification. And you can see the differences in, like, our outcomes. So it makes sense.
I totally agree. I know a couple of people like that too. And I actually have learned to have more patience. I don't think I seeked instant gratification per se, but I have always been one of those people that's like, I want to figure it out now, and I want the beginning, the middle, and the end, and tell me what's going on, you know? Like, I wanted all the details, and I didn't know how to just be patient with life, with understanding relationships in my life, with understanding why things happen the way they do. So I've had to kind of, like, learn to be patient and be like, okay, like, you know? Mm-hmm. Solo con su tiempo.
Yeah, same here. And I feel like that in more recently, too, even as an adult, I have struggled. Like, I feel like when I was younger, I had a lot more patience for the instant gratification. But as I mature chronologically, like I'm about to be 35, and I feel like that I put these high expectations on myself of where I'm supposed to be. And so then this idea of instant gratification was present in my life. And I feel like it was having me make decisions that were not healthy. So this is a reminder that I need to be patient.
Yeah, I agree. So like we said, unfortunately, in real life, it doesn't work that way. Most of the time, you're not going to get immediate feedback. By the time you see the results, the action was already done. For example, if you go to college for a four-year degree, like we were talking about wanting to be where you should be, it takes 4 years for you to see the results of an action. Signing up for college that you did in the past. The biggest sources of instant gratification today is social media, which is why everybody likes their likes and their retweets and their DM messages. All of these are forms of feedback. This means you should decrease your time on social media as much as possible. Except if you're me. I'm just kidding.
No.
You need to do the same.
It's for real. It's real. And I've been trying to be more mindful about that. Like when I wake up in the mornings, I'm trying my best. Well, so my phone is broken right now, so I don't have access to it. But when I did have it, I was really trying to be mindful of not going on social media right when I wake up. Like I've been good at it too. I usually don't get on social media till about maybe 10 or 11, and I rise super early. I rise like at 5, between the hours of 5 a.m. and 6:30. And so usually I take that time to ground myself and prepare for the day. But I was beforehand, I would get up and I would be like, boom, what's on my IG? And like, it's real.
I feel like I need to practice that too. I don't go to Facebook and Instagram immediately unless there's a notification.
I turn mine off. I turn my notifications off.
Then I do kind of go like, okay, who messaged me or what did they say? You know, like that kind of like, you know. But what I do and I feel like I need to decrease is I go straight for the news. Mm. Like it's sad, but it's almost like I expect something happened between the time I went to sleep and I woke up. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what's going on with the latest news. What's going on with like this caravan thing? Mm. What's going on? Was there another shooting? Was there not? Like it's sad, but it's almost like you want to know, but it's horrible. It's a horrible addiction because that stuff affects you emotionally. The last shooting, I was so emotional. And I'm like, why did I do that to myself? I should have waited before I checked. So another thing is to go beyond your comfort zone. In order to achieve big things, you need willpower. Willpower originates from the prefrontal cortex. Willpower is like a muscle. You only have a certain amount of it you can use per day. But again, due to the changeable nature of the brain, you can increase your willpower. The best way to do that is to do something that's just a bit outside of your comfort zone. This could be something like not hitting the snooze button when the alarm hits 6 a.m., going for an extra rep in the gym, or even engaging a stranger while waiting in line at Starbucks. Or one thing that I did one time and was totally out of my comfort zone, going to the movies by yourself. I was like,
your book.
What the heck am I doing here? Why are people staring at me? I bought my popcorn. By the way, total side note, but I like to have my popcorn with peanut M&Ms and Sour Patch mixed in it. Weird, but I bought that. And I like, as I was walking up to the theater door, I was having like anxiety. And I kept going like, I should leave, but how stupid am I going to look walking out with a bag of popcorn?
So you were in your limbic system right
yeah.
then and there.
And so that was totally out of my comfort zone. But after that, I haven't done it as often, but I could go to a movie by myself because it was out of it. Mm-hmm. So all of these force you to make decisions in the moment, sometimes in the space of a second. When you do something that you're not accustomed to, your brain makes new neural connections. That you can better equip for it the next time around, aka going back to the movie theater by yourself.
Right.
This is also a key part of what is called deliberate practice, a large part of what it means to get better at any skill.
So as therapists, deliberate practice is something that we should be practicing as a quote-unquote best therapist. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yes, because we do want to be the best therapists out there. And another one is learn new material. Learning engages the brain, and it's never too late to be learning. We should be trying to learn every day. Like exercising willpower to go beyond the comfort zone, learning or doing anything new makes neural connections in this area of the brain. Reading, especially reading unfamiliar material, is a great way to exercise your brain and your prefrontal cortex. When you read, your brain is trying to piece together the information in the book into a coherent whole to make sense of the parts that you read. And if you don't have time to read, which I usually don't, audiobooks are the shit.
Yeah, audiobooks are really good. And you know something that I've been, it's not reading, but it's definitely a brain game. It's I've been trying to do Sudoku.
Oh, I loved Sudoku growing up. Mm-hmm. My mom would literally buy me a Sudoku book for Christmas.
I have one, yeah.
Yeah. Good. I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, Kelsey, these are helpful. Like I said before, I've been putting social media on the back burner because I've been noticing that when I'm talking to people face-to-face, I have a bad habit of being on my phone, and I understand that that is rude, and so I'm trying to be a little bit more intentional. I'm working, like I said, I'm working on my instant gratification, and that's one right now that's kind of been present in my life, and I'm trying to go back to the time where I was a little more patient. So I'm doing my best to do that. From what you listed, it sounds like I'm doing what I need to do to strengthen my frontal lobe, and I'll keep at it. So thank you for listing all of those. On another note, learning about the brain excites me so much. I hope everyone has enjoyed learning some basics about the functionality of the brain and how we can continue to work on it so that we can function to the highest capacity. Again, this is a mere introduction. There's so much more to be learned together and individually.
I totally agree with you. I will be honest with you guys. I went into this field more of wanting to be the talk therapist than the clinician. I guess learning about neurons and the brain and all of that reminded me of science, which I've never been a huge fan of. Except for like when we did lab, I like the hands-on stuff. So not only have I learned so much from you, but being in the field, I've learned how fascinating a lot of this information can be. And so I definitely encourage all of our listeners to get out there and listen to some audiobooks about it, or look into blogs, read articles, anything that can make it interesting for you, that'll help you better visit these areas of your brain, understand them, and see how you can care for them. Because I think that's like super important, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, as much as, you know, we like to squat to get a nice glute, like we could definitely learn more about our brain so that we can have a big brain and a healthier brain, more importantly, because we definitely need to work that muscle. Remember, it's just a muscle. Don't be intimidated by it. It's just a muscle. It just needs to get worked out.
And just like your booty needs to look right, so does your brain.
Right.
All right. Well, we totally gave you guys a lecture there. We hope we didn't bore you and that you enjoyed our episode. And that it just really was informative for you, because that's what we want to deliver, right? So why don't we do some chismear now? Hey, everyone. How's it going? Right. So we are actually recording our next episode right now. And Dawn Marie had the idea to go live on our Chisme del Día because we think it's something really important. So I'm really nervous. I choose a podcast for a reason, so that people wouldn't have to like see me when I speak. But this is out of my comfort zone, so that's good.
And we just did a segment on the brain, and there is a part on like going out of your comfort zone and how it works the frontal lobe. So Kelsey's working her frontal lobe right now.
All right. So
vamos a chismear un poco.
So what do you say, Don? We do our chisme del día now.
Let's do it.
All right, so...
¿De qué vamos a platicar hoy?
Well, girl, this isn't much of a lighter topic or anything, but I think it's important. And I'd like to start it with this. Excuse my language. Pero qué fregados se traen nuestras comunidades Latinx. To me, this is something so, like, hard. Like, it's a really hard pill to swallow because I feel like I'm very shocked and surprised by the way that the people in Tijuana are dealing with the caravan. I've been trying. So when I don't understand something, I've been trying to do my best to understand things, right? So I look up, I read, I, you know, watch the news. Granted that a lot of it sometimes is lies or it's sugar-coated or, like my mom used to say, le echan más crema a los tacos. But I'm trying to really just understand, like, what's going on over there. And I know the best way to understand it is to probably get my butt out there and see what's going on. But I haven't, you know, made that arrangement. So for our chisme del día, what I want to talk about is just, basically, what is going on, you know? It's just crazy chaos. Through social media, we're seeing our Latino communities, like, go at it with each other. Like, at it. Like, I've seen people that are like, oh, I'm Honduran, and I got this and this to say about Mexicans.
Well, let's give a little background of why that happened. So, what happened?
Okay, so, as many of you have probably read or heard, we've had a large group of people come from mostly Honduras, but
Central America
area, Honduran and Salvadorian communities that are coming to the United States to seek asylum, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They're coming through Mexico, and even though our news channels have stated, well, they've been ungrateful. There's a lady that went on the news that said that the deep fried beans she was being fed era comida para los puercos, and of course Latino Mexicans got offended. So there's been a lot of like back and forth, right? Because that woman was made to go live, which by the way I thought was done on purpose by our media, but that's another topic. Because they love to add more crema a los tacos. But they're going through TJ, and my understanding, and again, this is my personal understanding from it, is I think the people of Tijuana feel overwhelmed, right? Think about it as your house. A bunch of people show up in your backyard. You don't have the resources to feed them, house them. You don't know what to provide. You're already in a very corrupted part of Mexico where the cartels have their own wars going on there. I don't know if you read on this, but there was actually something about like the cartels threatening them, mm-hmm. saying that if they didn't get out of Tijuana by a certain time, that, you know, there would be maybe bloodshed or horrible things happening. So I feel like everyone's just like stuck, but I really do think that the United States has done this mm-hmm. in a sense of on purpose, kind of.
Yeah.
And the way I broke it down to you the other day when we were talking about this was, to me, it's like, it's kind of like poniendo a bunch of mice or rats en un cuarto con un pedacito de queso and seeing what happens. The United States knew there's no way Tijuana, especially with its corruption and its, you know, drug wars and stuff, are gonna have the resources to help these people. But we're okay with that because this is how we're gonna see them go at it. And then we got our communities going at it through social media, through Facebook, Instagram, giving their opinions, and all of a sudden, Mexicans hate Salvadorians again. Salvadorians say, well, I've never liked them, and Honduran, I don't like these people, and blah, blah, blah. And it's really bringing out the really ugly side of people.
It is. And I feel like that, like you said, the United States didn't know. I mean, rather than hiring more workers to expedite the asylum cases, Trump sent troops, right? He sent troops to guard the border and do what they're doing.
The gas bombs thrown on the weekend of Thanksgiving, which, right. By the way, Thanksgiving was made of what? It was a meal united, right, between Native Americans and, a.k.a. the colonists, if you want to call them, yeah, the invaders, in 1621. And so it's like, here we are celebrating this supposedly holiday of, you know, welcome thy neighbor, and we're throwing gas bombs at these people that are, a.k.a. invaders, as Trump called them. I'm not calling them invaders, but as he called them. But we're not welcoming them the same way that the invaders in 1621 were welcome.
Right. And as you said, Kelsey, what I've been reading on social media is all of our communities, our Latinx communities, Afro-Latinx communities, we are now again divided. And I feel like that the tactic of divide and conquer is the oldest tactic in the book. Mm-hmm. And here we see it again, where we have our communities dividing rather than uniting in time of crisis. And, you know, we wanted to take this time to go live. We have a small platform. Literally, we have like 2 people on live. What's up? You know, but it'll be saved. And so hopefully more of our supporters and followers will click on it and listen, because we really need to take this time to unite rather than share your stories of when people from another culture did this to you. And this is not to not acknowledge the trauma behind those of us that have experienced the trauma. But in this moment, we need to see the larger picture and see what's at play here. Like, the United States is responsible for this, the divide. They're responsible. They freaking have a physical border. Right? Do we have a physical border along Canada? No, the U.S. borders Canada. It's
even not there. The border between Latin America and Mexico is not a border. It's a bridge. And why? Because until now, even though we've had our wars between different Latino ethnic groups, the actual communities didn't believe in the big walls that, right, Trump believes in. And so I want to say this to my Mexican people. It's like, here we were, excuse my language, but F your wall. And all of a sudden, some of the people from the Mexican community are speaking of making that border now,
wow,
bigger, stronger, because, again, the U.S. has brought us back to that little war that's always kind of existed. Mm-hmm. And what I think of is, it's like you said, it's divide and conquer is one of the oldest tactics. And it's done here in the U.S. all the time.
Right.
Black people and Latinos, let's face it, at one point or another, we don't like each other.
Right.
We didn't like each other. We talk shit on each other. Why? They have made us to do that. They have brought us to do that since the olden days of when all of this started, of when Thanksgiving time, 1621, started. What did they do? They came, they conquered, then they turned some of the tribes against each other. They brought in the slaves to work to replace the people they had raped, killed, and slaughtered, and then they turned the African slaves against the tribes. And then the war just continued to increase. So this is something so old, something that's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. And
it's nothing new. And I feel like that what's happening is that the media, as you said, those of us who are using the media, we're getting caught up. We're getting caught up in the woman's message, right? When I feel the same way, she was probably being used to spread that message. Why? Because who can kill us quicker? we kill ourselves much quicker than anybody, right?
Exactly.
And so if there's a war between the Latino community now, well, then boom, that's more people, that's less people than they have to worry about. But as you said it beautifully, you said if Black people unite with Latinx people, we are such a strong force.
If just all Latinx people united, there is way more of us than there is of them. Added on with the Black community, we winning. We winning this damn war. But they know that. They know.
Yeah.
That's the fear that Trump and a lot of today's white supremacists have. They know that we have developed to a multicultural, mixed
community. Well, yeah, I mean, community. We are multicultural, right? We have Black people within the Latinx community, and that's a whole other thing, right, within that's happening now, is we see, so anti-Blackness exists within Latinx communities, but I feel like that now since this war is going on, so we see people from Central America who are a little more oscuro, like they're a little more, you know, they're a little darker, and so now it's at the forefront again. We see it in social media, and so I feel like that I just want to stress again, like, we need to unite, we need to welcome our brothers and sisters, we need to be able to see our similarities rather than our differences, because we are stronger in numbers. We really are.
Yeah, and we need to not let their old tactic win again, because it's made us their puppets. And I've always said this, within our urban or less privileged communities, you have the wars going on between our gangs. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of skin color, because of parts and regions, blocks where you're from. And the white man sits back and watches.
Eats his popcorn.
Exactly. Eats his popcorn and watches the war while we kill each other. Because like you said, it's the fastest way to kill off who you don't want here, letting them kill each other off. And like I said, somos un grupo de ratas que pusieron en una cajita, a.k.a. Tijuana, gave them a little piece of cheese and said, let's see what you guys can do with this. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're going at it instead of uniting. Who am I to say I'm in the United States? So who am I to tell the people of TJ is put all the little bit of resources together you have and help these people out? Who am I to say, right? Because I am more privileged. However, if we can unite as a community and see, okay, what don't we have? What can we send from here to there? What can we put together? Maybe you don't have beds for everybody, but maybe a piece of land where we can have them all, you know, stay for now until this gets figured out. The little bit of water we can to give, the little bit of resources that we can to give. And again, it's not everybody. Because even though the community, even though the news media channels are trying to make it seem like the entire community is at war, the Mexican news channels or reporters that had came from Mexico are like, actually, it's fake news. A lot of us are helping each other. So there is a lot of people helping and helping each other. So it, like I said, le echan más crema a los tacos. However, the people that are feeling a certain type of way about this caravan being in your AKA Mexico community.
Well, they're being triggered, right? They're being triggered, as we talked about, you know, we want to tie it into the segment that we just talked about. Like, they're being triggered. So now they're coming from their brainstem to their limbic system. So hopefully, you know, and if they're in high stress. They're in crisis, and so they're not functioning in their frontal lobe, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a matter of understanding that part, too, because Tijuana's already in crisis, right? So they're already in survival mode, and now they're in super survival mode. So it's a cycle, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely is. And tying it back to our episode, which obviously those of you that are live won't hear this episode till we post it. But tying it back to our episode, I just want to say that despite everyone's belief on if the U.S. has enough room for them or not, if we need to take care of our homeless community, which is at an all-time high, before we take care of others coming in, or if we should shouldn't be held accountable for the action of our ancestors, or whatever argument that people have on why they don't want the caravan here. I just want everyone to think about the children. Like we spoke in our episode about the brain and the effects of stress and trauma to our brain, it's just really important for us to stop and think about the children and how watching, I'm sure a lot of you have seen those pictures of the kids, like, running.
Well, yeah, they're fainting. They're fainting. And there's also pregnant women.
Yeah.
Like, it's horrible, and it's really inhumane. And Trump can give two fucks. He really can. And I wonder if he functions in his frontal lobe. Really, I do. Because he can and just have a different perspective on life. But I'm like, are you really functioning in your frontal lobe? Because the decisions that he's making are not humane. They're not humane.
And with that message, I encourage us, especially in our Latino community, to unite during these times and to be humane, to really be humane. Because let me tell you guys something. It doesn't matter what you have on this earth. It doesn't matter how much tienes o no tienes, how successful you have been or how you haven't, or if your family migrated here the right way, whatever fucking right way that is, excuse my language, or whatever argument you have. At the end of the day, we're all going to be buried in the same land, 6 feet under, or cremated, or whatever you believe in. We're all going to go the same way, and I think right now, more than ever, it's important to remember to be humane and to know that there is kids and mothers and pregnant women out there. And before anyone says their argument of, well, they shouldn't have walked over here if they knew that they had kids, if they knew that they were pregnant, it's not about that. It's survival mode, like we've been speaking of, and they're running because it is no longer safe in their home. And the United States, aka, more in specific, Ronald Reagan, is very responsible for why they're running.
Right. I mean, and if supposedly it's the land of the free and home of the brave, I mean, clearly it's not free land if they can't come when the United States is responsible for creating chaos in their home. So, you know, I mean, all of our constitutional and all of these preambles that we have, they're all hypocritical because we don't welcome in people who need the support and help. We keep them out.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we've had no problem. Ronald Reagan and some of our past politicians have had no problem dipping their little hands into Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala and escalating the drug war and sticking our guns and, you know, weapons in there. And
even in, like, Libya or I can't think of the actual name, but the U.S. provided the gas bombs.
Yeah, we provide the materials so that we can start up this war in their land and making homicidal rates and murder rates at an all-time high, and then go, oh, now you're running from what we caused. Oh, wait, you're not welcomed here. And trust me, I know that we might not even have the resources to house all these people right away right now, or we might not have a place built to put them and shower them and feed them, but we got to figure something out.
We do.
They're running from what we have caused.
Right, and the thing is that, like I said, rather than hire more troops, hire more asylum workers, like, or hire the troops to go and be a part of the asylum process. You get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the strategy can be shifted, but it's not. It's so militarized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all he wants to do is keep people out and really just, I feel like it's greed. It's militarization. It really is.
Privacy. Yeah, it is. So thanks again, everyone, for listening to today's episode. As we're recording this, we did go live on our Instagram. So thanks for everybody who joined us live and who hopefully will watch this even after we end the live. We really are enjoying recording this podcast for all of you. And we just want to remind you guys that this is something that we're doing because we're enjoying it. But in order for this podcast to continue, we need your reviews. We need your comments. We need your whatever it is that you want to give us, even if it's negative feedback on what we should be doing different or what we should be doing better, but whatever it is so that we are able to continue down the right path and to continue to deliver these episodes and these messages for you guys. So thank you guys again for tuning in, whether it's listening to the episode after we post it or just being live with us on our Chisme del Día. That is it for today. And do you have anything else to say?
No,
that's it.
That's it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.